Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. So it's in the middle of June, which is Pride Month, and we get really frustrated by that sometimes, as I've talked about on this podcast before. And I think that sometimes our theology can be shared through memes.
Meme.
You know, we post things on the internet. We share everything on social media. We see all these, you know, memes, these little pictures with words on them. And even though many times they're just lighthearted, it is an expression of what we believe. There's a reason why we share it. And many times we don't give it a lot of thought. But today I want to go through just a bunch of things I've been seeing on the internet and kind of dialing in on what does this mean? Is this helpful? Is not helpful? What does this say about our theology? And so I'm going to share a couple of memes I've seen from LGBTQ people from that angle and kind of dissect a little bit about what it means. And then I'm going to share a bunch that I've seen Christians post. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and communication and what are we communicating and how and why and what is a biblical lens in which to communicate what we do. But first, before we get into it, you guys should make sure that you like this video, share with your friends, subscribe to our channel, and go to calibrateministries.com to support the ministry and for more resources. All right, well, let's get into it. What am I seeing around the different corners of the interwebs? Here is first one. It says, I read somewhere that God made trans people for the same reason they made wheat, but okay, they refer to God as they, which is a little bit weird. And so I'm assuming they're doing that out of they, them pronouns. So that tells you something. So let me just start over. I read somewhere that God made trans people for the same reason they made wheat, but not bread and grapes, but not wine. Quote, so that humanity might share in the act of creation. They called it the divine alchemy of self. I think it's a beautiful perspective. All right. That is not a beautiful perspective. And so what he's saying is that God made trans people so that people can play a part in creation. It's like, no, part of transgender ideology and LGBTQ theology is being our own God. That's really at the heart of the sexual revolution. It goes much further beyond just LGBTQ issues, but the sexual revolution of I am my own God. And so God didn't make trans people so that they could be part of the act of creation by creating themselves. In fact, that goes beyond and outside the bounds of even what transgender ideology says, because transgender ideology says that I am born in the wrong body. I am born, my you know, gender identity doesn't match my biological sex. And so even that ideology and that statement is saying that their gender is on a binary and I was born wrong, all right? It's saying that it's a result of the fall, that there's a problem with the way that I was born. And there's a problem with the way that you're born, which is why you have to be born again. That's all of us. We all need Jesus. We're all affected by the fall. And so this saying here is trying to make something beautiful out of brokenness, but what can make brokenness into something beautiful is the gospel, the transformation that Jesus can do in our lives. Whereas the world with this type of transgender ideology says that when there's a problem between our physical biology and what our heart is feeling, we need to go under the operating table. We need the scalpel. That is the agent of change. But the Bible tells us the agent of change is the gospel, that we have a change of heart, that when there's this discongruity between what we feel as a gender and what reality and biology says our gender is, that we need to change our heart to match the gender that God gave us, not vice versa. So we don't go under the knife. We don't get a scalpel and start cutting ourselves up, which is such a tragic reality. But instead, we surrender to the gospel. And God is a God who redeems and restores our hearts. And so this perspective by this person online somewhere is not a beautiful perspective. It is such a sad reality and a tragic reality that people are living with this confusion about their gender. Okay, what's next? So this is called the Sparkle Creed. I've been seeing this go around some. It says, I believe the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, who saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit, who shatters our image of the one white and refracts it into rainbow of glorious diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints, as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the AIDS quilt, whose feet are grounded in the mud, whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us, that love is love, so beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen. All right. I don't think I need to say much about this, because I think that we don't have to look far to see how just ridiculous it is. But this just goes to show the lengths that LGBTQ people and their allies are willing to go to make God into the God that he wants, claiming that God is, you know, non-binary, who pronouns are plural. They're trying to project their dysfunction and their sin onto God so that they feel better about themselves. And obviously, we don't buy that. They will understand someday, when every knee bows, that God is who he says he is. He is a holy and he is a just God. And we pray that they find out and they surrender to that before it's too late. All right, what do we have next here? All right, so this is something I made a couple of years ago. It says the best way for a Christian to respond during Pride Month is with humility. And I still believe that that's very true. I say sometimes the opposite of pride isn't more pride, it's humility. And I see so much pride during Pride Month, not from the LGBTQ people, but from Christians and society, where it's like, we want to hang our pride banner higher. You know, it's like, we want to outdo them with our pride. And that is just as sinful. And God hates a prideful heart and a haughty tongue. And we see a lot of that revealed in our world, and not just by LGBTQ individuals. And so I think we need to respond with a whole lot of humility, not with more pride of ourselves. Proverbs 8:13 says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance and corruption and perverse speech. And I have seen this posted around a lot, and verses like that out of kind of a response to pride. But so many times the attitude I see it posted by Christians is a prideful one themselves. And so, again, we don't respond to pride with even more pride. And many times when I see Christians talk about these issues, it's with pride, arrogance, corruptions, and perverse speech. And so, oh gosh, we just need to examine our own hearts so many times. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids, because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. And today, I want to talk about, how do we communicate during these moments in our culture when social media gives everyone a microphone and we just want to share everything that we see, and we feel like it's being shoved down our you know, throats all the time with all the rainbow flags and pride? And so I want to talk to you about a verse, and I've shared this many times. I shared it many times when I talk at different churches. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. All right, I want to talk about this verse a little bit and break it down a little more than I normally do. And I think that this is such a good filter for what we say and how we say it. And I think so many times we get it wrong. First of all, it says, is corrupting talk coming out of your mouth? I think a lot of times when we talk, we hear about corrupting talk, we think of something that's like, you know, inappropriate, dirty, potty talk. But I think it goes beyond that. Is the talk that's coming out of our mouth, is it prideful? Is it arrogant? That's corrupting talk. Is it disrupting your relationships? Is it disrupting your witness to people? If so, it is corrupting talk. And it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Because he then contrasts that in the next line when Paul wrote this, but only such as is good for building up. And so when we share these various memes, I'm going to go through a whole bunch of things I've seen Christians share in the last month. Is it actually building up? Is it helping people? And it might be true, but we also have to make sure that everything we share is fit for the occasion. So when he says fit for the occasion, is this the right time? There's a lot of things that I could say that are true, but I have to have the right time. I have to have the right tone, the right heart, the right relationship. A couple of examples I was thinking of this afternoon, you know, if I'm concerned about something in my wife's life, a sin issue she's struggling with, and I want to have a serious conversation with her about it, and I'm really concerned, and there's this glaring issue, what's the right time to talk about that? Do I mention it while she's on the way out the door? It's like, by the way, Mary, you're a sinner. You need to repent of this. It's like, no, that probably wouldn't go very well. Instead, I need to have a serious heart-to-heart where we're going to have time to talk it out, and I can listen and ask questions and really hear her heart and apply the gospel in this hard conversation. No, if I see someone in line at the grocery store, am I going to condemn them with some truth? Even though it's true, is this the right time? Is it fit for the occasion? No, probably not. And so I think we can have that same lens on social media. Is it the right time? Is it fit for the occasion? Is this what this person needs to hear right now? Is this the best truth for them right now? There are a gazillion statements that are true. I could get on, you know, in an encyclopedia, read through an encyclopedia, and every single statement is true. And yet I have to understand, what's the right context for sharing that particular statement at this time? What's going on in this person's life? Do I have permission to speak in this area of this person's life? What is the right time that is fit for the occasion to share this particular truth with this particular person? And one hard part about social media is you can't control your audience. And so your audience is everyone else on social media. And so is this the right truth for all of these individual people? And if not, maybe this isn't the place to share it, but we are so hasty in just sharing everything that we see. And I think many times it corrupts our relationships and our witness. Next, Paul says in this verse, does it give grace? Well, does it give grace? Like, think about that. And the things that we share, the different memes and the quick little shares, you know, in the comments that we write, does it give grace? And I struggle with that too, especially with other areas. I can just be snarky and I can fight right back on my little keyboard. And I have to understand that we need to give grace in all areas. And is this the right place and the right time? And does my reply give grace? Maybe silence is what's best. Maybe God does need me to step in and, you know, correct this person right here, right now, and with some random person online. It's probably not fit for the occasion. And if it doesn't get grace, then I shouldn't say it. And so we need to be more cautious about that and making sure that we are saying things that give grace to those who hear, that are fit for the occasion, that it's building up, and it's not corrupting our relationships and our witness. Sometimes I wish that I didn't have to share about these issues on social media, but I kind of have to since it's my ministry. And I really still trying to filter everything through the lens of this verse. And one way I do that is that I make sure when I talk about it, I'm not being flippant about these issues that are really, really hard in someone's life. I make sure that since I do need to talk about it, since that's what God's called me to do in my ministry and social media is how we just, communicate these days. I try to make sure that I'm talking about it in a way that isn't dismissive, that I'm having a serious conversation. I know I've lost so many, friends over the years, Facebook friends, most of them probably not real friends. I have lost real friends because they disagree with my ministry and my understanding and my theology of sexuality. And that's tragic. I know I have lost friends when I share it on social media, but I think that what has helped with friendships and relationships with people who disagree is showing that I'm not just flippant about it and I'm not dismissive of what they are dealing with these issues in their life. So that said, let's take a look at some of what I see a lot of the Christians sharing. So I'll share my screen again and we'll flip through some of these. So here it is. Love is love and water is water. And so show someone drink out of a glass and drink out of the toilet. I mean, it's a snarky little comparison. But I always then try to filter these things through. Is anyone actually being convinced? Is this actually bringing anyone closer to Jesus? Is this helping your witness? Is it building people up? Is it fit for the occasion? Is it giving grace? And I think that answer is probably pretty self-explanatory. Here's one, Pride Month in the Middle East and a whole bunch of rocks. And that is really, really harsh. Because that is, in the Middle Eastern countries, they do like stone people for being gay. And there's a lot that could be said politically about that right now. Like, all the gays for Palestine, they're like, okay, well, that's kind of ironic because if a gay person goes to Palestine or so-called Palestine, part of Israel that's occupied by the Palestinians right now, they will probably be stoned. And so, but I do think that we can have a heart that we don't want anyone to be stoned. Like that's horrible and that's tragic. And so there are places in the world where there's violence being committed against people and we decry that and we seek justice. And we don't want people to be targeted in violence because they're a sinner. But, many times LGBTQ people here in the U.S. have kind of a victim mentality, which when they don't know Jesus, I wouldn't expect them to have any type of a biblical mentality about anything. But I don't really think that in this day and age, they're really the victims that they think they are. But they need Jesus to illuminate that area of their life. Okay, next one. June 1st hits big companies. I am once again gay. And so obviously Bernie Sanders. And so it's like they cover everything in a rainbow flag on their profile. And they think that they are celebrating pride and celebrating people. And really they're just pandering for business. And they don't actually care about LGBTQ individuals. They are just caring about their bottom line. And then July 1st comes and the logos go away and everything is back to normal and they show that they don't really care. Okay. Here's one from a Christian. As a Christian, if you are gay, please know that I love you. If you're trans, please know that I love you. But I love my God more and I will never betray him to bring you comfort. You don't need my validation or participation for your self-perception to be recognized. Okay, so I love the sentiment behind this. It's like, oh man, yes, if you're gay, I love you. If you're trans, I love you, but I won't betray my God. What I don't understand is the need to proclaim this to your gay and trans friends on social media. Most of the time, people who proclaim these proclaim truth the loudest and share a lot of these memes. They probably don't have many gay and lesbian friends or trans friends left because they've corrupted those relationships with what they've had to say and how they've said it. But I mean, this I think is coming from a great heart, but maybe these people should find out in relationship with them over a cup of coffee. I think that so many times write something like this on social media because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we're loving these people and we're standing up for truth, yet it's still not fit for the occasion. It might not be the most fruitful time or fruitful context. All right, what do we have next? How to tell you need to find a new church. Here's a church with a pride flag. Absolutely. And as I shared a few weeks ago with the Methodist church, most time a church has, by the time they've affirmed gay theology and are flying pride flags, they've probably left biblical truth decades ago. And so we don't just leave a church because they're all of a sudden flying a pride flag. We find a different church when they give up on interpreting God's word correctly. And even though there might be secondary issues we disagree about, and that's completely fine. How do they view God's word? And I've always said that when someone is convinced that Christianity doesn't actually condemn homosexuality, they're probably not just deceived on the, you know, six or seven passages that talk about homosexuality in the Bible. They actually probably have a different view of all of Scripture. They don't understand proper hermeneutics, how we interpret Scripture. They don't understand the inerrancy of Scripture. They don't understand the authority that God has in our lives. They don't understand human nature and sin and probably the gospel. And so it's much bigger than just this one issue. Many times we use this issue as a litmus test. And usually I think the litmus test is much further back in how they're interpreting Scripture, much further, you know, before they get to this point, getting to this point of having a gay pride flag in church is just the outward symptom of some much deeper theological issues. Okay. Me just trying to scroll the internet for dank memes, and this person, so they're having to protect themselves from pride ads because they're looking for funny stuff on the internet and they're bombarded with pride stuff. And so, you know, this was a Christian who shared this. It's like, man, like if you're decrying how horrible it is to see pride stuff, maybe just take a break from the internet. I don't think you need to proclaim it because you might be corrupting your relationships. I don't think that this is helpful. It's not fit for the occasion. It's not giving grace. And so maybe just it's fine. Take a break from the internet. Take a break from social media. Don't be on it right now. I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you'd be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like. All right, so this next one, I'm sure about this before, about corporations don't care about people. And I've shared this, something like this, last few years. You can see these different corporations with their U.S. page versus their Facebook page in other countries. And as you see in the month of June for Pride Month in the U.S., they will change their logo to rainbow colored to celebrate Pride. Yet they don't do that in the Middle East, where homosexuality and anything LGBTQ is still completely looked down upon and not celebrated. So to me, that shows so much about how they're just pandering for people, and they're just trying to make money. All right, so this I've seen shared by a Christian. So this says, first Pride Month, and it's obviously Satan falling from heaven. So we know that, you know, Satan had the sin of pride. That's the root of all sin. And gosh, it's like, yes, that's true. But is this the right place and time to share this? So what they're equating pride in the Bible to is just LGBTQ pride, whereas there is so much more pride than that we need to repent of. And so I don't know if making it look like all LGBTQ people are just equated to Satan falling from heaven is what's going to build bridges and show people grace and is building people up. All right, so Pride is 30 days long, and Facebook has a 30-day snooze feature. So again, if your heart can't handle scrolling through social media and seeing all the Pride posts, then just get off social media for a month. It's completely fine. most people will probably not miss you, and it might be a good break. I've been thinking about taking the rest of the month off of social media myself. All right, this is really interesting, and this wasn't shared by a Christian. I should have had this at the beginning of the video, had these a little bit out of order from what they're supposed to be. So doesn't matter who you click with, happy Pride Amsterdam, and it shows these different ends of the buckles. This is Royal Dutch Airlines, and I think that this is so ironic because it does matter, because the top two are not going to click together. This safety belt with the two same ends on the top two is not going to work. And so what a piece of irony that anyone thinks that this is celebrating Pride Month when it's making this actual scientific point that this safety buckle is not going to function and is actually really, really useless when you have the wrong parts together. And what an ironic way to think that you are celebrating Pride Month. Okay, so here I see this all the time, and this has been driving me nuts a little bit. All kinds of things about the rainbow. Happy Noahic Covenant Awareness Month, because the rainbow belongs to God and always will, even when a sinful and fallen world thinks they can hijack it for an evil purpose. All right, so I see a lot of Christians sharing this, and I think so many times it comes from a good heart, but here's what I always ask. Have you ever heard a testimony that is someone who has come to know Christ, walked away from the LGBT life and said, oh, I came to know Jesus because someone shared on Facebook that the rainbow belongs to God and the Noahic covenant. It's like that someone shared that on social media, and so I bowed my knee to Christ. I've never heard a story like that, but I do hear stories about people feeling so alienated by what Christians post on social media. And so I think that posts like this come from a great heart, and that's fine. I want to give people credit, but if it's not helping, is it building up? Is it fit for the occasion? Is it giving grace? It's not leading anyone towards Christ. It's trying to plant our flag. That's what I was trying to say. Even higher. And it's like, you know, this pirate ship, we're going to conquer this and have a flag that's even higher. And we're going to, slam it in their face. It's like, man, that's not the heart that Jesus has for us. And so sharing stuff like this just is not being fruitful. And I see along these same lines, people posting things like, it's like, oh, the biblical rainbow has 7 colors, but the pride rainbow only has 6 colors. So like, well, there's no biblical consensus on how many colors the biblical rainbow had. And so like, what a ridiculous argument to try to tear people down. And so let's just, again, I don't know how many times I have to repeat it from Ephesians 4:29. Is it helping, building up, fit for the occasion, giving grace? So here's one, the June Bible reading plan. Day 1, Romans 1. Day 2, Romans 1. Day 3, Romans 1. You get the picture. So I've seen a bunch of people share this. And again, I don't know people's hearts, maybe, but it's like if someone needs Romans 1 to transform their gay pride, then get to know them and build a relationship and love them and help them understand all of God's word and not just try to shove Romans 1 in their face. There's a reason why these passages, Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 and Leviticus, are all called the clobber passages, because Christians tend to take them and clobber people over the head with them. All right, here we go. Someone turned Pride Month and showed that 5 of the words in the middle make the word demon, and this scary little demon with painted in rainbow colors. And so it's like, gosh, again, I'm a broken record at this point. Is it building up? Is it corrupting relationships? Is it fit for the occasion? Is it helpful? Is anyone coming to Christ because of posts like this? And I don't think that LGBTQ people have, you know, a cornerstone on pride, even though they might be a lot louder about it, which sometimes subtle sin is probably worse. Many times our sins are just whitewashed and we're good on the outside, but we're just whitewashed tombs. Okay, here's another one along the same lines of, reclaiming the rainbow, promise not pride. And we have to ask, Who is this helping? Is this bringing anyone towards repentance? How are people responding who are, you know, my Facebook friends or on social media who's actually struggling? I always say that we want to maintain the type of relationship with people so when their sin fails them, we are the ones that they run to, right? We are the ones that they come to because we know that we will offer hope. And so our post like this, building the type of relationship where you are the person people will run to. Okay, don't forget to thank a straight person for your existence this month. And so I've seen this posted by a bunch of people and just making the point that everyone is born because of heterosexuality. But I don't think we need to rub that people in people's faces. I don't think that's helping us. Here's this last one. So this is by Abby Johnson. I appreciate Abby. You know, she's used to be a Planned Parenthood worker, and now she's a advocate against abortion. She's doing a lot of great work there. But she posted, "Pride is a sin and God made marriage to be between a man and a woman, period." And so obviously, so this post had thousands of shares and tens of thousands of likes and comments and everyone saying amen and sharing it. And again, I always question when people post things like this, like, is this convincing anyone? Is this convincing anyone who's in a same-sex marriage? Is this the post that's going to bring them to repentance? Is this what God's going to use to soften their heart? Probably not. But so many times, people on social media, whether it's politicians or I see a lot of Christians, authors and speakers and posting stuff like this. One day I saw a lady who's a writer, YouTuber, someone I really, really respect, post, "There are only two genders, period." It's like, so everyone was sharing and decrying amen. It's like, did that actually help anyone? Was there anyone who was on, who's been following this person who was confused about their gender and said, "Oh, really? There's only two genders? So I'm off about something and I need to revert back to my biological gender?" Like, or any of the people, tens of thousands of people who shared it, are any of their friends being convinced who are genuinely confused about their gender? But instead, I see Christian influencers, authors, speakers, podcasters post stuff like that purely to get a whole bunch of clicks and a whole bunch of likes. And I think that that's really tragic. And I'm always very careful to not do that. And sometimes I think, okay, that's probably not even them. It's their social media person. And they need to tell their social media person not to do that because it's not helpful. I am very thankful that my employees, who do our social media, Caleb and Josh, they are so full of grace. And we don't work to just get clicks, and it's not just clickbait. And I feel like posts like that are clickbait, but it's violating scripture if it's corrupting talk that's coming from a sense of pride, a sense of condemnation. If it's not building up, fit for the occasion and giving grace, then making posts like that to get clicks is, I think we can put that in the category of sin. So let's be careful about what we say and how we say it. Well, friends, that's all I have for you. So let's stay humble, stay kind as we navigate the rest of Pride Month. Let's do it with humility. Let's examine our own hearts. Let's show some grace. Let's make sure that there is no corrupting talk that comes out of our mouths and our keyboards, for that matter. Make sure that everything we communicate is helpful, it's kind, it's building up, it's fit for the occasion, and it gives grace to those who hear. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out calibrateministries.com. We would appreciate your donations to the ministry if you're able. Share with your friends. Subscribe to our channels. The world needs to hear some truth and with grace, and we need some healthy nuance and understanding of the complexities. So I pray that our videos help do that. Thank you so much for joining us.